Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryankaravavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Maybe he's still clean from the rest of yesterday.
Oh.
Page 27. Lord Shiva concluded, the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by him, persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the cause of creation and annihilation. Srila Prabhupada comments. All conditioned souls working within the illusory energy of the Lord consider the body to be the self, and thus they continuously wander throughout the universe, taking birth in different species of life and creating more and more problems. Because the whole thing is it's based on the body, right? Because the body is then what is working within the situation. The body is what has the senses that therefore interact. And depending upon the situations, then they're favorable or not to that particular body. Right? So that's the whole crux of the matter, is this bodily identification. Right? When that bodily identification is there, that's when these problems come up. Right? When that's gone, then there's no problems. Right, so it's not a political issue, right? It's simply just we're not the body. That doesn't change the body. It doesn't change the environment. It doesn't change what's good or not for that particular body. It just changes our particular perspective of whether it's illusion or reality. So, yes.
It depends on us. You identify with the body.
Yes, yes. It's not that the material nature changes. We're thinking we'll stay the same, material energy will change. No, material energy will stay exactly the same. It's our perception will change.
So if we identify with the soul, we are not conditioned.
Yes.
But here it is said that we need to be favored by the Lord.
Yes, to get to that, you have to be favored by the Lord. So in other words, there's two aspects of being favored by the Lord. So the karmis use one, or let's say the materialists use one, we use two, right? So one is, you know, the main one is that we see the relationship with the Lord, and based on that in devotion, then we interact with him, gaining that favor, right? Then we understand our position. And we're not the body and everything like that, right? The second one is that we follow the rules and regulations recommended in the scriptures. So that means it's not necessarily that we're dealing with the Lord as a person, but we're acknowledging his authority and accepting his law. Following that, we get his favor, therefore we get facility in karma or jnana. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. But the devotee uses both, because it's about the Lord and it's about him personally, therefore we follow the rules which he personally follows. Because we have to remember, it mentions that Krishna follows the rules of the Vedas. That's his 20th quality of the 64. He follows the rules of the Vedas. So if he follows them, why wouldn't, if we want to take part in his pastimes, why wouldn't we be following them? Right? It can't be we're doing one thing and he's doing something else. It doesn't work, right? This is that's the way it functions, right? We have that eternal position. Who is this? You know, the can't remember what their names are, but whatever it is, you have the Romeo side of the family and the Juliet side of the family. Yes, yes. So they don't get along. The Bloods and the Crips, they don't get along. You know, it's just the way it works, right? You know, I think there's two parties in West Side Story. Yeah. Yes. Okay. See, these are all classic examples. You know. Someone studied in the classics then understands these things. You know. Does that make sense? Yes.
Many times what you say, but we don't follow, for example, Vastu.
We don't follow Vastu.
Because
why don't we?
Temple is
transcendental. Temple is transcendental. The temple is not the one that has the problems. It's the people walking around in the temple that have the problems.
But now the deity has the entrance from the south. So
yes, but the point is because wherever the deities face, then that's not a problem. Because wherever the deities face, that's east. Those things, because you're talking about a temple.
Yes,
I'm saying. Yeah, what we're talking about is the house. Generally speaking, you have less, at least a touch less illusion when people are in Mangalartik or Darshanartik or Guru Puja or the Bhagavatam class, or you know, you could say you would hope during when they chant their japa. Right? You understand? It's when they walk out of the temple and go home, that's where the problem starts. Right? Does that make sense? And if you'll notice that, okay, the lotus building was here from time immemorial and the chakra building. Okay? How many grihasthas are living in either of those two? Throw in the conch building. You know what I'm saying? So, the buildings that most grihasthas are living in were created by the grihastha community itself. So why wouldn't they follow Vastu? There's nothing getting in the way. There's no Western culture. There's no, you know, municipality rules. There's no nothing. You have a bare piece of land. You just now build it. So therefore, since we have to build, what would be the basis of our building? Just our own imagination or Krishna? Right? So that's what the Vastu Shastra says. It gives us something to work off of. Now, if we're too lazy to use that because we don't want to take the time and effort, because everything you do takes time and effort, and we don't want to do that, then we can't really say it's a glorious, I'm not this body, and you know, we're devotees, we chant Hare Krishna, because then if that's it, Haridas Thakur did that, and he just sat under a tree. In fact, he would be happy to sit in the cave with a snake, a big snake. You know, so are we doing that? No. Okay. You understand? That's where it applies. Not that we apply that on the temple and then throw the whole thing out. The point is the temple is there, you're absorbed in Krishna, there's not a problem. Right? So, but are you sure it's the temple? What, are you sure it's not where they live? Who lives in the temple? Now that I know of, the only one I ever heard of living in the temple itself, I mean actually living there, was Omkar, who was the head pujari. I don't know if any head pujaris since then live in the temple. Anybody lives in the temple? I don't know of. I think he was the only one that lived there. I think that after him that some guy lived there for a little bit, but I don't think anybody lives there. So that means they live in other buildings. Vrindavan. They live in other temples. Other places, right? They live in the Gurukul building next door. They live in the guest house. They live somewhere else. So So then why are we looking at the bad relationships happen in the temple when they leave the temple and everything is fabulous? Right? If they're having bad relations in their home, that's their home problem, not the temple problem. See, the point is you have to know how to use a tool also. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if you don't know how to use it, you're still going to have problems. So why are they focusing just on the temple? Why not on where they live? The temple, that was made by Prabhupada there. This one is made, you know, something else than beings before. Radha Madhava's temple, the door was to the west. You know what I'm saying? The point is the deities are there. So when the energy comes in from the south, who does it meet? The deities. Okay. Now let's look at another way. What is the south? Who's in the south? Huh? Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the lord of what? And also the lord of... Now let's say, okay, he's the lord of death for who? Preempting any discussion. Okay. As a Mahajan, how is he famous? Huh? Dharma. So that means from the south, Dharma is coming, you know, understanding of religion, religious practices, everything like that. Right? Does that make sense? And if you have religious practices, then what's on the opposite side? No, I'm saying who's on the north? Kuvera's on the north. So Dharma and money go together. Right? You understand? So it just depends which side you're how you're looking at it. But the point is this is connected to the deity, so therefore that's one thing. If it's in your house, then what's the connection? That's where you have to apply it more. The other is just it goes nicely for the deities because that's the way he likes it. But the problem is that bit of land that was there, then that's kind of the way that they can put it together. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, if it had been authorized, then they could have put it out here, right there. Right? And then it would have kind of been over here. That group, the half of that wouldn't exist. We'd probably be cool, but... You know what I'm saying? So then they could have made it face east. But then you have to throw into it, you know, the rules and that of the local country. You understand? So they put it there. So why get bent out of shape about the temple, and what about everything else in the community? Who worries about these things? You know what I'm saying? The point is, and so what's the point? We follow, we don't follow. But if we follow, we're following connected to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So we have to bring that into it, because in a temple, Krishna's there. So then what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? It's other things that you have to worry about. Does that make sense? Okay. Sometimes they become disgusted with the problems and seek out a process by which they can get out of the entanglement. Unfortunately, such so-called research workers are unaware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in his illusory and his illusory energy, and thus all of them work only in darkness, never finding a way out, right? So they're looking for a solution. So they think technology or knowledge or, you know, modern political systems or economic, that they won't get because they're still working in darkness because they don't include the Lord. Because you have to remember is that material energy belongs to Krishna, so that's the only way you can conquer it, right? Because she's working under his potency, therefore... In that relation, in that respect, she's as powerful as God, because it's his potency in which she's functioning. So therefore, if you want to get out of Maya, then you have to surrender to the Lord. Then he pulls back You know, probably gives the example. You go into some rich man's property, and there's a big, nasty, slobbering dog. Right? How do you get past the dog? Right? The owner, the master calls the dog. Right? So that's the process. Right? Simple process. Surrender to Krishna, no slobbering dog. Right? And actually, the slobber part's not what we're really worried about. So-called scientists and advanced research scholars are ludicrously trying to find the cause of life. That's why he says so-called scientists, because they're not actually very scientific. Because they're only working on the platform of Anamoy. Babies work on the platform of Anamoy. They're just fancy babies, right? Instead of sticking everything in their mouth like babies do, they just stick everything under the microscope. Right?
Yeah. No, it's a very good
yeah.
example.
But I'm just saying, they're just fancy babies. Yeah. Because socially, they're not, actually, babies do better. Everybody likes babies. No one likes physicists, I'm telling you. No. Nobody likes physicists. They just can't function. No one likes them. Right? You know, like that. At least babies are a bit ahead there.
They're cute.
Yeah, they're cute, yeah. They don't talk all like that. Or even what they... But they both babble. Yeah, at least you hope that one day you'll understand what they're saying. Yeah. Okay. An advanced research scholar, because they're research, they're looking at them. That's why Prabhupada is very careful about the word research. He didn't really like the word being used. Not that it's not a good word. But it's you have to know what research is. The Goswamis, they did research.
Yes.
You know, because we say, oh, I'm doing research, and probably what research you'll do, right?
Yeah. That's one. If you steal from one, it's theft. If you steal from many, it's research.
Yes, very good. And then you give the then you proudly show the bibliography where you stole
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Yes, see, you know, like pointing out, you know, stuff. So, oh, you were the guys in that job in Venice. Yeah, and they go, wow, yeah, cool. Yeah, okay. Yes.
So, Maharaj, when you say the Vedic scientists, they are like the rishis?
They're the rishis, yes.
Yeah,
because, see, science actually means you would start to call it science. It means all the way through it's science. But it starts to take on, you know, real scientific flavor at Vijnanamoy, like that. Because the lower ones you can study, but if you don't understand this principle, then you're not actually beginning. And even them will only say that they're partially, they're not complete. Like someone's liberated, but it's not, then we'll say real liberation. Right? So only actually the devotee functioning on the platform of Anandamaya, that's a real science. Then when you look at the other four levels of consciousness, then you can see the actual science in it, which is Krishna. So Krishna is the science. He is tattva. Right? That's one of his names. He's tattva. So then, means how the senses work, how the economics works, how the, you know, so religious environments work, right? The relationships work, how the nature of the soul and Brahman, right? Then there's all that in the transcendental platform. Right? So all those four, then it's separated, because when you're dealing with the mundane, these four get separated and people have their tastes. But on the spiritual platform, all these four are all together. Because no one acts on the material platform. They all act on the platform of the soul.
Yes.
Right? But there, the soul is extended to the form and all that. Therefore, the engagement with the senses, the interactions, all the different things that they do is all perfect. Right? It's all connected with that. So the science of that, then that's your highest science. Right, the science of relationships. So that's why the knowledge given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that science, now that's your most developed of all the sciences. Because that's the one why people are really doing. People want to know where they come from, so you have an identity so they can have a relationship. Otherwise, just to know where you came from, just to know where you came from, then what's the whole point? Yes.
So they don't like scientists and social level and interactions, but they very much like to quote them when it's about sense.
Because they found some way to apply it. Because the fun part is the scientists don't get any sense gratification.
Other people.
Yeah, everybody else gets. So it's like, you know, it's like say, taking candy from a baby. Yeah, so you get these big babies, they do all this research, and then this, you know, fat Marwari walks in and walks off with all of it and makes money. Yeah, I mean, he knows how to apply it because he's using the next level up. Why is it the businessmen can control scientists? Because they're on pranamoy, while the scientists are on anamoy. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Each level up can control the one below it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and then the Hindus control the... Yeah. The Marwari, right? And then the sadhus control the Hindus. Yeah. And then
that's true.
Yeah. And just that's the way it works. You understand? So it's just because the consciousness is higher, so it already includes the lower one. They take no notice of the fact that life is already being produced. Right, so life is already going on. They're looking at, okay, what's this? But it's already going on. So then what's the principle? Why is it going on? What's the principle behind that? That's not what they're looking at. Right? People have children not because of all the mumbo-jumbo they talk about, because they want to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's...
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been saying, what is your credit? Even if you create life, I've been saying, what is your credit?
Right. Yeah, because it's already going on. Yeah, they've done it once in very controlled situation, but it's going on unlimitedly around them by non-scientists.
Like if I invented cars. It's like, it doesn't make much sense because...
It's already cars are there, yes.
All over the place.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Good point. Yeah. Yes. Okay. In all the activities of creation and annihilation, the living entity is entangled in fruit of activities, which are executed by the illusory energy, Maya. He is exactly like a computer handled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists say that nature acts independently, but they cannot explain what nature is. Because that's the whole, if nature is acting on its own, it must act with time and with space, and they can't explain that. Nature is nothing but a machine operated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one understands the operator, his problems of life are solved. So they're trying to figure it out by the machine, but you actually have to figure it out by the operator. You know, it's just like this. Will I not get shot if I understand the mechanics of a gun? No, I have to understand the mechanics of the guy holding the gun.
Yes.
You understand? That's the thing. Or if I walk across the street, I won't get run over by the truck because I understand how trucks work. No, you have to understand who's driving the truck. Right? What are the laws governing all this? So that's the whole point. The scientists are trying to figure out, solve the problems of life by understanding the mechanics rather than understanding who's operating this mechanics. So...
And it's not a good thing is to understand both.
Means yes, but if you only you start with the person, you understand then you can get it. If you have really good material qualifications, you could start with the second, but unless you have the association of devotees and the mercy of the Lord, you won't get to the first. So if you have an opportunity to go for the first, you take that.
Yes.
You don't get distracted by the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were discussing the other day. Sometimes devotees get into these using these secondary aspects, Vedic ones or New Agey ones,
yes.
But that becomes more prominent than actually the Krishna consciousness. So because it's being functioning in a mixed devotional environment, therefore the products of that endeavor also are mixed. And so those who come to Krishna consciousness from that, then it's you'll find that many may have problems switching over to the concept of pure devotional service.
Yes.
Right? They get attached to that secondary and even feel that that's the only way Krishna consciousness can go on.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't catch that that's just a particular conditioning that deals with a particular group of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that some sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is the same thing as for science, art, philosophy,
anything. Science, art, anything. Means there's always been devotees getting into these things and always being distracted by them. Like that. I remember when in Calcutta there was a few devotees, they were learning classical music. Calcutta less, Bombay more, because they had more of a contact there. And so they would get into these things, and they'd be quite good at them, but their use in pure devotional service was never a strong point. They were into their music, and then much of the time they couldn't use it, because it has to be done in that environment. They couldn't take the essence from it. You know, it's just like, let's say, not that Prabhupada specifically appreciated, but, you know, what would you call it? Mm-hmm. And it's not a tape anymore, it's a, you can just say a track?
Eight.
Huh? Yeah. No, but it's A, not eight. Mm-hmm. It means not the big, those ones, but it's Prabhupada singing the prayers of the six Goswamis,
yeah.
And in the background there's a sarod. So that was put in afterwards by some devotee.
Oh.
It wasn't that it was done, Prabhupada went to the studio and they did it together. So Prabhupada wasn't so appreciative.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like that. So, but the point is there, to do that, you have to be so expert.
Mm-hmm.
Just we're talking on the material platform, knowing classical music. To be able to take that melody that Prabhupada's doing and then put something in the background that adds to it and doesn't distract from it.
Yes.
You understand? You have to know it so well. Like once, like, you know, there's also some tapes of Prabhupada where he's singing Gita shlokas or other things and he's using melodies. He's not just doing like what we'll do for the chanting the shloka in the class, but he's actually like singing them like that. So in South, that's a very popular thing. It's done a lot. North, very little. You know, it's an old tradition. So it's called I think Gamakam. Is that where they can just use that melody part. So I went to some who are very expert in this and said, can you just teach me this so I can sing the different shlokas? And their point was you have to know the whole classical music thing to be able to do this.
Do you have 12 years?
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, you know, I thought, oh, it's just simple. They're just singing that. But it's the amount of music you have to know to be able to do that. You know? Like that. To make it so simple. And then the best example of that is how simple it is. You know, we've heard, you know, Prabhupada's, how he sings. You know, there's now all the tapes are available of what he's sung. And so we'll listen to those and think they're just some, you know, nice little melodies and things like this. But I remember one devotee was telling me, he was in South India, I forget where, if it was Bangalore, Madras, or, you know, one of these, you know, main cities down there. And he had up his little book table. In those days, many times they set up a little book table and they'd have speakers and all that,
yeah.
And, you know, with Prabhupada playing. And then people would hear the sound come over and sell the books, right?
Yes.
Because you can't carry so many books, you know. In the West, you can. You can stick them in the bag. Takes you all day to empty it. Here is that, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, you can wear two trunks, and you could go out on that kind of sampritan. So you just set up at the table. And this one nice, you know, looking gentleman like that came up and was just standing next to the table. And he asked him, "Can I help you?" He says, "No, no." Like that, and then he's selling so many books and this and that, and you know. And then he asked something later. No, he says like that. Because Prabhupada was singing something. You know, and some of these songs go on for a long time, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, like that. So when it finished, then the gentleman turned to the devotee. And he says, I'm a connoisseur of classical music. And, you know, so, you know, he knows all the people, knows all, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they know everything. And he says, and I've heard, you know, all the best, you know. I've been all over India, North Africa, where were the best? And he says, and, you know, who are the best in classical music? He says, but this person is so much more expert at the music than any of these people. You know, and this would have been back in the 70s. So you still had your Ravi Shankar and all these guys that are, you know, big names in those days. He says this, I've never heard classical music like this, because this is just like the pure music. Everybody else puts in a lot of extra stuff just to please the people. But this is just exact, essential, pure. You know, we'll think it's just a few tunes, but it's so expert that it's beyond what these other guys can actually do. Because that's the fun part, is you, when you hear, when these kind of guys, I'm talking about that level, when they decide to, okay, you know, they'll play their fancy stuff, but they'll just play like we do bajons and that they play, like that. The tunes that they play are so simple. They're just not, I'm not talking about good, I'm saying they're just so simple, they're not something special. Mm-hmm. What makes it is they ornament so much what they're doing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like if you take some of their, you know, classic, oh, this tune was from this guy or that guy, some guy back 100 years, 200 years, you know, they're all woo, woo, woo. When you hear it and it's just plain as the melody goes, they're the most ordinary kind of things you can ever think of. But because they play it with all the different embellishments, it sounds like something's happening. But you see is that what the Goswamis give, you know, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, those melodies, now those have something happening. So they're so far more developed. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that they understand what's going on there. These guys understand the mechanics.
Yes.
So then they can do a little this way, they can do a little that way. But then who's the mechanics about?
Yes.
Right? The point is the raga is about an interaction between Radha and Krishna.
Yes.
So if you understand Radha and Krishna, then you understand, then the melody comes out very nicely. But for these other guys, they don't understand Radha and Krishna, or they generally deal with Shiva and Parvati. They don't understand them either. So what they deal with is just very simple kind of melodies that just fit within the raga, and then they use all the mechanics on it to make it sound really nice. You understand? That's the difference. Before it was more scientific, like with Mustaq Ali Khan, like this. They would take one thing, and if they'd take one part of the melody, and then everything you could do with that, they would do. And someone like him, he was one of the best. So the variety he could do with that was amazing. Right? But it's very mechanical. It's that, and then you can move on to the next point, and then we do all this, and then, okay, check this out, and then we do all that. So people that listened to it had to actually know music to appreciate it. Right? You know, it's like when you get these guys, they're doing really, really fancy stuff. They do a program in Calcutta. Wow, it's a big turnout. 100 people showed up.
Yes.
Right? We're not joking here. Like that. But then Ravi Shankar, because he spent time in the West, then he figured out, here's a crowd that does not know music at all.
Yes.
Right? He went to, I think it was Woodstock, for that first Woodstock. They invited him. And you know how before they start, they tune up, right? You tune off stage, but you want to get it by lifting it, moving it like this, it gets a little out of tune. So they all sit down, the tabla, the sitar, and that, and they just tune. So they're all going ding, 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 you know, doing little things like this, and the guy on the, you know, on the tabla is going, you know, don't, you know, like with his hammer, you know, and like that, and do, ding, ding, you know, like this, turning it like this, knocking, you know, doing all these different things. And they do that for 5-10 minutes. When they finish, the crowd, you know, wow, you know, that was great, like that, you know. The advantage of having very stoned people at a concert. So then he announces, says, well, if you like the tune-up, you're really going to like the concert. You know. So he figured out is that instead of here I can do 10 things in one place, I'll do 2 or 3, then move on, and I'll come back to the other. I'll do 10, but I'll mix them all up. And so that an audience who's untrained then appreciates it more. Does that make sense? So when he came back to India, he introduced this, and people liked it better. That's how then you got these groups where you have thousands of people coming to a concert. Because then the common person could do. Well, before that, you know, these people played for kings. You know, they played in their home because they were trained. They played for the deities. It wasn't a public kind of thing. You understand? It was public, it was simple. Does that make sense? So the whole point is if you, so they're just looking at mechanics and then they figure out how to make the mechanics work for the mass. But knowing the person behind it, the raga, the mood that's there, what's the relationship between Radha Krishna, what are the flavors of rasa being exchanged, that they don't know. So that's why you see is even though they're so mechanically very expert, in which they are, but when it comes down to the actual music, then we see the acharyas are so much better because they know the, who's behind it, who's the origin. So their music, that is sweet, is nice. Right? So we're saying is that we can say, well, what about the opening example of the Sarod Walla with Prabhupada's, you know, Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanita? No. That's because they were following Prabhupada's tune. But on their own, they couldn't come up with that. Does that make sense? And these are people who are trained, that would be, oh boy, Ravi Shankar's teacher's son. He was the teacher of those people, and they were best students. Ali Akbar. They were students of Ali Akbar. So, you know, these are the best you're going to get. But it comes out nice because they're following Prabhupada's tune. So that's what you see is now, if you, now that's what we go back to. Who is it said about both? We do both? I was saying about the 2 points. We know the mechanics and we know. That's the point. If you know Radha Krishna and you know the mechanics, then it comes out really nice. But if you know Krishna, not the mechanics, it'll be sweet. You know, not very developed, but nice. But if you only know the mechanics and not Krishna, then it's, you know, we see that. Somebody sings real simple, it's really nice. You know, someone like, what's his name? Badahari? He just sings really simple. Really nice. But then you have some that are technically really good in the kirtan, the madanga, and all the tunes, learned classical music, and Hari Bal. Huh? Karaoke, yeah, like that, yes. Yeah, you understand? So that's the whole point, it's not that great. So that's the whole problem. That's what happened, was that these devotees, they learn something technical, but they don't see the connection to Krishna. So then they can't fit it into our kirtan. Because they don't, they know too much and they know too little. They know too much to just be simple and not enough to actually make it simple.
Yes.
You understand? So that's the problem, unless you know Krishna first. So that's why Prabhupada introduces Krishna first. Then the aparavidya can be introduced as people are qualified. But unless you're Krishna conscious, you can't take advantage of the aparavidya. You'll always do something stupid with it. You'll always overemphasize it or stuff like this. You know, like here. We're worried about the temple, but not about the community.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like that. You know, it's just like out there, roads. Are the roads in a straight grid? No. Does anybody care? No. So that's bad. Like in Calcutta, you'll notice the main roads are straight, off of straight grids. But in between those, they're all just like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Okay, now the main roads, those had the before the big huge houses and everything like that, right? And inside where the spaghetti is, that's all the little houses and the apartments and all the, you know, where the not so well-to-do live. Why? Because the curved roads, you'll always get that. You understand? So that's where you have to apply it. I think in Sydney, they came up with a thing, and I'm not sure if it was, who was it? It was, you know, one of these big houses, MGM or Universe, no, Fox. It was Fox. And they made this thing called Bent Street. They had Fox at one end, and then they made all these shops and everything, you know, to you know, make it into a whole scene like that. But the street was curved. And the place never makes any money. Everybody comes in and says, you know, it's great. If they made the street straight, they would have made money. But they, it's curved, they can't make money. Does that make sense? That's where you have to worry. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So that we won't do. We'll fight over the temple and the things like that, where it's not so... If you apply it there, nice. But if you don't apply it there, it'll still work. But in their house, then... You know, so the whole point is, some way we're misapplying. Vastu, all about the temple, not about us. Or, you know, see, it doesn't matter, we throw it out, so it's not for the temple or for us. So it's either for the temple, not for the temple, not for us, or for the temple, not for us.
There's a consistency on one part.
Yes, yes. At least there's the point it's not for us, because we're not the body, because we're transcendental. It's Krishna we have to worry about. He's the one that, you know, we got to apply all the Vastu stuff to, because he's the one that has the problem.
You don't want him to fall down.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't want him to have bad relationships. Yeah, exactly. You know, come in one day and find the gopis are all, you know, what are they doing on Lord Chaitanya's altar? Krishna's just sitting there alone. You know. What is it? Who said that? The guy sits there, the thinker? What is it? No, it's a statue. Yeah, I think so. I think it's a Michelangelo or something. You know? And then Krishna's sitting there. Yeah. Where did he come from? Yeah. You understand?
At one pastime of the Ramanandis, I think it was in Jaipur, where Radharani did separate her because they claimed that she's not bona fide according to the Ramanandis.
Yeah.
And then the purport that Vishwanath gave is that she was actually in effect with Krishna, but she didn't know that she couldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it comes back. Yeah. But one is that she used the Ramanandis, he said, because Ramanandis are Apasampradaya Sri Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
Right, so you know they naturally do weird stuff. It's like for us, we have the, you know, the Goswamis and the Sahajiyas and like that. So the Ramanandis, they're Apasampradaya for Shris. You know, more sentimental, more this that, like that. So you know, it's, their premise is bogus, but you know, she used them to. Ah, okay, so that they don't. They don't make any more trouble. Okay. So chapter 18. The prayers offered by the Lord to the Lord by the residents of Jambudvip, Pratigya. The Lord reveals his personal form only to his pure devotees. The Pratigya of this chapter is taken from the text 36 spoken by Mother Bhumi to Lord Varahadev. O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies, yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities, because you are self-manifested. Only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. What? So our understanding of the Lord, that can only come about by Him revealing Himself. Other processes won't work, physical or mental. Right? So that's not going to happen. Otherwise, scientists would be quite realized. Right? But they're not, because that's not the method. Chapter 18. So basically it goes back to what's before, when you cover your body with the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, then that's when you'll understand. Right? And you do it consistently, not just once and then that's it. Hari Bol.
Kumar, because yes. So Krishna can reveal himself according to different levels. He can reveal as Brahman.
Yes, yes, of course. But in any case, it's still Krishna revealing. Yes, yes. Otherwise, they can search forever and find nothing. That's why it says that the Brahma Samhita, just the effulgence from his toenails, the yogis in a million lifetimes can't approach.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So any level someone understands, that's Krishna revealing.
Yes. But it seems that for the scientists, or the people in that level, to understand Brahman, the universal form, is very important.
It is important, but they can only understand it if they follow Krishna's rules. That's what we're saying. Those who follow Vedic culture, then they can get karma and jnana quite easily. But it's only by associating devotees will they get bhakti. Right? But the karma and jnana, because they're following his rules, so they're accepting him at least as laws. Well, those who don't follow the Vedic path, they're not accepting him as a person or as laws. Because if we say that, oh, we're Westerners, we wear like this, and you know, how can you say Krishna doesn't, you know, wear pants and eat pizza? But the point is, who are we using as the personal center here? ourselves. I like pants, I like pizza, so therefore, since I'm the supreme, and he's, okay, he's a bit more supreme, so why wouldn't he like it? You know, he's supreme enough, he should understand the superiority of this, right? You know, otherwise, then what's the point of being God if you can't understand this? But the point is God's a person. He already has what he likes to do. And then whatever he likes to do, we interpret it or interpolate it so that we end up with what we want to do. Right? Rather than maybe he does like it like this. And maybe I like it like this. It's my conditioning and it's not the soul. So therefore the conditioning can function in this way, but the soul has to function in that way. So I have to have faith in that, but I may engage my body in this. Right? But if you do, after a while, just out of affection, you'll start to make adjustments. But if we're, you know, standing on it, rights and that, then that means we're not getting any revelation, means we're not actually wanting to know Krishna. We're wanting to know how we can maintain what we're doing and have a little Krishna also. Right? But that's basically called the heavenly planets. As we saw before, the residents of Ila Rita Varsh, all material facilities and all that, and they also are Krishna conscious. They don't get distracted in the Krishna, but they have, but it's about themselves. But unfortunately, they are following the Vedic version of what is sensual and social happiness.
Yes, that's why the quality is so high.
Yeah, and that's why the quality is so high, because otherwise we keep on a lower level. How high can you get? Right? How refined can the genes be? You know, Chino's is about the end of the line. Yeah, and people who say this stuff, they're not going to. One time I was walking down the street in New York, I saw this guy in green silk pants. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying he wasn't just some weirdo guy. He was like, you know, high-end fashion guy. Like that. They're not going to do that, so they're not going to go that far. So therefore, they're just going to end up with, you know, that's as good as it gets. You know what I'm saying?
Good times on a baseball cap.
Yes. Yes.
American Bandar Shah, we can have more choices.
There's more choices, there's more variety. It's unlimited things. Like pants, you can put them on one way, right? Well, you can't put them on backwards, you can't put them on upside down. Can you zip them up? Okay. And they wore their pants backwards.
Yes.
Called crisscross.
Crisscross, okay.
And they will make you jump.
Well, not just the pants, everything.
Okay, shirts on backwards, everything. They have the head on backwards, so they faced away from the audience when they play.
All the rappers had their caps on backwards, so they just took it further.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying they could just face away from the audience, and from the front it looks like they're facing them. Just put your glasses on backwards on the back of your head.
But seeing their career went backwards.
Oh, I see, yes. Okay, everything went backwards. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Chapter 18 summarizes questions and answers. A rhetorical question uttered by Bhadrashrava in his prayers to Lord Hayashirsha in verse 3 does not come under the study. A couple of rhetorical questions uttered by Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Narsingadeva in verses 11 to 12 do not come under the study. So again, we see rhetorical questions. So they're basically just using it as a poetic means to make a point.
Yes.
Right? A rhetorical question is how to make a point,
yes,
but, you know, using an indirect fashion. Adhyaya Prakashika. The worship of Hayagriva and other deities in six varshas, starting with Bhadrashva, are described in the 18th chapter. So that means Bharat Varsha and Ilavrita are left out in this? Yes? Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. The worship. Oh, okay. The predominating ruler of Bhadrashva Varsha is Bhadrashrava. He and his many servants always worship the incarnation known as Lord Hayagriva. At the end of each kalpa, when the demon Ajnana steals the Vedic knowledge, Lord Hayagriva appears and preserves it. So you just keep doing that over. You'd think you'd learn, but... What? Then he delivers it to Lord Brahma.
Kind of when his mom gave him the name, his destiny was always.
I see. Okay, Agyana. Yeah. So neither he learns and he okay. Trying to establish ignorance, he's ignorant enough to know that he can't do that. Okay. In the land known as Harivarsha, the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj worships Lord Nrsingadev. The appearance of Lord Nrsingadev is described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, the inhabitants of Harivarsha also worship Lord Nrsingadev to receive from him the benediction of being engaged in his loving service. In the tract of land known as Ketumalavarsha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hrishikesh, appears in the form of Cupid. The goddess of fortune, Hrishikesh, Prajumna. That's interesting. So when you have Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevana, it's actually meaning you're controlling the senses from the worldly Cupid and engaging in the senses of the transcendental Cupid.
Yes.
So
yes.
Zen Madan Mohan.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Appears in the goddess of fortune, the demigods living there engage in his service day and night, manifesting himself in 16 parts. Lord Hrishikesh is the source of all encouragement. 16. I think that's the moon. I think the moon has 16 parts. The sun, 12, and fire, I think, 10. Like that. Because when you do the Lord, when he sits in his asan, then there's sun, moon, and fire. And then when you establish the asan, then you worship all the different kalas of each one of them. Like that. Okay, so then connect with the moon, with Aniruddha, so Prajumna, Aniruddha are connected. Because
yes.
You have the desire, that turns into need. The benefits gotten from the need, the results go back to Prajumna. Lord Hrishikesh is the source of all encouragement, strength, and influence. The conditioned living entity has the effect of being always fearful.
Defect.
But simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can rid himself of this defect of material life. Therefore, the Lord alone can be addressed as Master. In the tract of land known as Ramyaka Varsha, Manu and all the inhabitants worship Matsyadeva to this very day. Matsyadeva, whose form is pure goodness, is the ruler and maintainer of the whole universe. And as such, he is the director of the demigods headed by King Indra. In Hiranyamaya Varsha, Lord Vishnu has assumed the form of tortoise, Kurmamurti, and is worshipped there by Aryama, along with all the other residents. Aryama, he'll be in the south. Similarly, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Lord Sri Hari has assumed the form of a boar, and in that form he accepts service from all the inhabitants living there. All the information of this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. This is better than residing on the banks of the Ganges. In the hearts of pure devotees reside all good sentiments as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. In the hearts of the non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the external illusory energy of the Lord. Following in the footsteps, because they're the so-called good qualities they have, those are simply manifestations of the modes of nature.
Yes.
So it's just the modes are working at that time, so they don't have the qualities. It's the modes may be manifesting qualities of goodness, but the soul itself doesn't have those qualities.
It says in the heart.
Yes, in the hearts of non-devotees, they don't have. But it doesn't mean that their actions aren't controlled by the mode, so we'll see good qualities. But they themselves, in their heart, they're in ignorance. How can they be? Following the footsteps of devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and worship the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa Saver Aham Eva Vedyaha. The purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If after studying all the Vedic literature one does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Lord, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family life in the material world. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So this apara avidya is about connecting to the Lord. It's connected to the Lord, then it becomes perfect. If it's not connected to the Lord, then it's a waste of time. Right? Maybe a nicer waste of time than your neighbor, but it's still a waste of time. That's the problem. Right? So that's what we're saying. Unless the primary is accepted, the secondary actually has no meaning. Even such nice things as following the Vedic literatures, living next to the Ganges, doing all kinds of nice study and everything like that, it's still a waste of time. Right? Amongst materialists, it's a better waste of time. But amongst the devotees, it's just another waste of time. That doesn't mean we throw it out. It means you connect it to Krishna. That's all. So if there's a value in it, you use it. If there's no value, you don't.
Can we say that for the materialist to identify with a secondary is like to identify with body and mind?
Yes.
And for the intellectual people or philosopher or scientists, especially with the mind?
Yes, especially with the mind, yes. Mind, intelligence, like that. But they never get up really to the level of consciousness. Yeah. And even if they do, it's still impure. That, you know, even if they come to the Brahman platform, it's still I'm the controller and enjoyer. So I am Brahman. I am, you know, like by means I am the supreme, not that I am made out of Brahman. I am the supreme Brahman, and I am going to enjoy Brahmananda. So they're still very much fixed. They've just cleared away everything except for this last little bit. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses, 1-6. Bhadrashava leads prayers to Lord Hayagriva and Bhadrashava Varsha. 7-14, Paladmaras leads prayers to Lord Nrisingadeva and Hari Varsha. 15-23, Lakshmi Devi leads prayers to Lord Kamadeva in Ketumala Varsha. 24-28, Vaivasvatamano leads prayers to Lord Matsudeva in Ramika Varsha. It appears, or at least he happens to be passing through, and because he's the senior, so he's... But it could be this is where he's living. 29-33, Aryama leads prayers to Lord Kurma in Hiranyamaya Varsha. And 34-39, Bhumidevi leads prayers to Lord Varaha in Uttarakuru Varsha. What page was that on? 11?
11 is not.
10, 11. So those are the names that are there. Okay. Then we have, where was it there? Bhadrashrava. Okay, that's to the north, to the east. Okay. Then Hari Varsha is just below, to the south. Then Ketumala is to the west. Then Ramyaka is just to the north. Then Hiranyamaya is north of that, and then Uttarakuru. So it appears the Kimpurushas don't offer prayers here, but there is some place where Kimpurushas do offer prayers. It's the next chapter, yeah, because I remember the Kimpurushas, because they're saying that even though we're a bit unrefined because we're animals, but still we worship the Lord and all that. So, you know, we live out in the forest because we're, you know, we're a bit wild. Okay, so everybody says. Yeah, all these varshas are jambadvipa.
Yes.
Means that it's just that when you have there, that we're starting from the east, Bhadrashrava, then going Hari Varsha, then Ketumala, then Ramika, then going north Hiranya Maya and Uttarakuru. So we've done everything here except Kimpurusha in this group. Because we've discussed Ilavritta and Bharata like that.
Yes.
Though we haven't heard of prayers, but like that. So then we'll hear others then later.
Everything is in Jambadvip?
All this is Jambadvip.
There is something...
No, then you have the other varshas outside of it. I mean, not the varshas, the other islands. The dweeps. So this is Jambudvip.
Yes.
Then there's another six dweeps, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's another six dweeps.
Yes.
Huh? And then all of that's Bhumandala. So Bhumandala has seven dweeps, and within the central one, Jambudvip, there are nine varshas.
Nine varshas.
Like that. So verses 1 to 6. Bhadrashrava leads prayers to Lord Hayagriva in Bhadrashrava Varsha. Okay. In the eastern central section of Jambudvip, named Bhadrashrava Varsha, the son of Dharmaraj, known as Bhadrashrava, worships Lord Hayagriva, who retrieved the Vedic knowledge that was stolen by the demon Ajnana and hidden in Rasatala. So they just take it down to the lower planets. At the end, so this taking of, you know, discredit, taking Vedic knowledge, discrediting Vedic knowledge is standard of Ajnana and his cronies. Yeah, okay. At the end of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada reveals, all the information of this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. There, this is better than residing on the banks of the Ganges. Right? Because, in other words, living on the bank of the Ganges just because it's a pious activity, taking bath in the Ganga, because it's piety, recommended in the Vedas. Associating with devotees is more important than that. Right? Though these are recommended lifestyles, so if you associate with devotees on the bank of the Ganges, then that's quite good. That's where the Bhagavatam was spoken. So it's not a bad thing. But just following the Vedas without Krishna, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why we see is some people are following, taking up study of Vedic literatures and different things, and Prabhupada's not very supportive. Why? Because it's without Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So then they'll say you just associate with devotees, do your service.
Yes.
But at the same time, as at the other time, he's recommending some study these things and apply it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the difference. Is that if it's in connection with Krishna, it's fine. If it's not in connection with Krishna, then it's just a very nice waste of time.
Yes.
Like that.
And only devotee knew what he is.
Yes, and only devotees can do. So those in passion and ignorance can't do that. Because the devotee is working on pure goodness, therefore he can understand goodness.
Yes.
Right? Because this is knowledge. And that knowledge is actually only goodness because you can look at it in that way. Actually, it's all meant to serve the Lord. It's all about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Vedic literature, it's the breathing of the Lord. It's not different from Him. But the wording of it, then, because we like to get involved in wordings and grammars, we can look at it by different perspectives. Therefore, six different philosophies. In the hearts of pure devotees reside all good sentiments, as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. So that means they actually have these qualities. As they develop them, they have them. It's not just a passing phase, it's they actually develop them. In the hearts of non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the external illusory energy of the Lord. So any quality that comes is just an enchantment with the material energy. So some are enchanted by finer points, some are not. You know, you have, you know, Disney at one end and death metal at the other, right? So they're not. It's just a matter of the modes, right? So, following in the footsteps of devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of God is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and worship the Lord. So this has been proposed by the Vedas, by the Acharyas, that Krishna is to be worshipped. That we should accept. It's not just, you know, but point is it should be because we have the independence that whether we want to or not, or the so-called independence. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa Saveraham Eva Vedyaha, the purpose of studying all the Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the whole point. So in any of these shastras, Vastu, you know, your Ayurveda, your Vastu, we mentioned Vastu, what's the other one people get into? Mainly those two, right?
Astrology.
Huh?
Astrology.
Yeah, that would be the origin of that Vastu that they leave behind the hard science, get down to the softer kind of science of it. Right?
Music.
Sorry?
Music.
Music, some. Dance, some.
Sanskrit.
Sorry?
Sanskrit,
yes, yeah, some. Because these are harder because they're actually really tough sciences if you get into. Vastu is also, but people generally just pick up a few books and just skim through and pick up a few things. Like that. In other words, what they know basically could learn in probably, you know, a couple hours. like that, because that's good enough for a seminar. If you're doing a seminar for a couple of days, how much information can you give, right? You know, and then they're, you know, the world experts on it, stuff like that. So they don't even know the deities that are there, their natures and stuff, like we were talking before. Is that south is Yamaraj, so they only look at death. What about his devotional side? He's death for the non-devotees, but he's religion and you know, the sad dharma for the devotees. Right? So you don't hear about that kind of stuff. Right? Just like, let's say, why should it be heavier on the one side? Okay, if we have money and we have religion, which of the two should be heavier? Money.
Yes.
She said money. Money.
I said religion.
Yes, yeah, so therefore, this is the South, this is the yeah, but see, is the money looks towards religion, the religion looks towards the money, so it works out. But the point is, this is the religion is heavier, that means then the money will be used properly. Does that make sense? So that's why in the South, that's heavier. You know? Does that make sense? And so then another thing is that money is coming in from the North, right? From the mechanical, it means from the magnetic potency. Right? That's coming in there. You don't want it to leave so quickly. That's why, you know, like that. So that's why it stopped there. But what does it stop by? What keeps it from going out the window?
Religion.
You understand? So do you hear discussions on Vastu on like this? No. This is Vastu. The other thing is just to happen because of that. Therefore, that's why we put this here and what's there. So you know the person. Then you know the thing. Just like in astrology or astronomy, how much of them do they know? Okay, the moon does not like, or Mercury? One of them, I can't remember. I don't remember what it is. Maybe Mercury, he doesn't like the moon, I think. They're not friends. Like that. Why not? Because I think it's the moon. Had a relationship with his mother, and therefore he was born. But that was not his wife. All right, so he's not finding that to be a great arrangement. You understand? Like that. Yes. So that's why it goes. Yeah, and they'll have it for all 311 trillion years. Right? Yeah. You understand? This is why they don't get along. Right? We'll just say, okay, here is that mechanical. It's just like this. Let us say you're at a house of a good friend. Like that. How relaxed are you? Right? How much of your own, you know, abilities and facilities are available? Right? Everything. Now let's say you're in the house of someone who's an enemy. Right? Nothing's available. You understand? Now let's say it's in your house and an enemy comes to your house, right? So again, you're not going to show anything, but it's there, but it's not going to be shown. You understand? That's how the chart works. You know, oh, because I'm in this planet and this and that, but why? Because they have a relationship, they're people. That's why in tradition you learn about the people, you learn about the nakshatras. Nowadays, no one talks nakshatras. In the Vedic thing, the nakshatras are the actual main point. Like that. You study the chart by the nakshatras. Now they don't even bother really with the nakshatras. Because why the nakshatras? In the plant, if we're going to talk about the mentality, who's in control of the mentality? The moon. Right? Who's in control of the moon? His wives. Those are the nakshatras. So your mental state is going to be based on the position of the moon, which is based on the nakshatra that he's connected with. So you understand that, you understand the mentality. Then you understand how they're going to use the money and occupation and this and that by everything else. You understand? So that's because it's personal. That's how you're dealing with these things. But others, people, it's just math. Yes.
Who's in the east and west?
Sorry?
Who's in the east and west?
You have Indra and Varuna.
that's karma.
Yeah, well, you have rasa, like that with varuna, and you have the energy. So the point is the energy is there, so you want to control that by relationship. Otherwise, you have energy and you don't use it properly. You know, you just are crazy, then it's not good. So it has to be controlled by relationship. So money is controlled by dharma, energy is controlled by relationship. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, so that's how they work. You know, so then that's the whole. So one, you know, you could say one is the influence, the other is the control. Does that make sense? The influence and the control. You know, one is influencing, one is controlling. You know, just like in the Vastu, the Brahmins are in the northeast, the Kshatriyas in the southwest. So the Kshatriyas control the environment, but the Brahmins influence the environment. So they influence what the Kshatriyas will control. So you understand, so it's not just one way. Right? You know, you're performing your religious duty so that you get the proper results. Right? But those proper results are then governed by religion, so each one controls the other. Does that make sense? But you have the masculine and the feminine kind. Does that make sense? So that's you approach like that. That fits our study here.
Yes.
You understand? So that's the ideas that at you know some point in time we get around to studying the Chaitanya Upanayana.
Yes.
That is studying all the Vedic literatures, all the 14 books from this kind of angle.
Yes.
Then we actually understand what it is. Now whether you want to memorize all the things and this and that, that's another thing. But this is then you actually understand what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we do that after?
Well, that's the idea, because all the people that can do that, they're doing this.
Yeah.
So when they finish this, then we'll have them start working on that.
Then there will be more memorizing. It'll take another 10 years. Everybody's very old.
Memorize. Oh, that stuff is that's up to you. You can start now if you want.
It'll bring the memory stick.
Yeah, no, that's at that time maybe yeah, he has some memory stick, something you can drink. Oh, the Ayurvedic doctor, there's things that you can take for memory, but it's short term.
Oh.
So then all the Ayurvedic students, they'd be drinking that before the exams, you know, and so then they would pass their exams, and they say that after 2 weeks you can't remember anything. So it's just a mode of goodness form of cramming. <You know. laughs> Yeah, because this one, that Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor, the one of the last one, the Ramanuja doctor, he was telling us that when he was a kid, when he was doing the studies, and that's what they would do. You know, 2 weeks before the exam, they start taking the medicine, and then, you know, they would, you know.
Yeah. Told me he had some memory medicine, but he kept forgetting to take it.
Yes, that's the whole point. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one do I was taking also. It's one, it's really good for memory. It says if you take this on a regular basis, you have a memory like Brihaspati. But then, you know, one gets enthusiastic, he took too much because the thing is actually a poison. It's in the category, you know, you have the three levels of herbs, minerals, and poisons. It was in the poison category. And so he took too much of it, and so then the body rejects it, so he can't even take it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, there's always some little what do you call it, loophole here that you just didn't quite expect that would...
It's always a catch.
Yes, always a catch. Yeah.
So actually those who expert devotees and they know Vedanta, they can be masters in these secondary sciences.
They can be masters in them, but it's not necessarily that they know the technique.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the point, that they're masters in it.
Yes.
You can explain to someone who is an expert in it what's actually going on.
Yes.
That's the point, because the idea is that if you come into a subject matter, you should come in from the top. Then you descend down how far is your ability. Because you have a conditioning, how much you can do. If you have a conditioning that can work with music, then you can go very far in that. You don't, you won't. But the point is the science itself, based on the principle of Vedanta, how it works, is it's all Krishna. You can understand how Krishna is there in this science.
Yes.
So that's the point, is that's where we're getting into the what is the word? It's been a while. I don't remember the word. The word means that one who understands all the literatures, who can reconcile all the literatures. Nard Muni is an example of that. Anuchana, yes, Anuchana. So the point is Anuchana is there because you come in from the top.
Yes.
Someone like Vishwamitra, he's very expert because he has an amazing memory and material ability, but he's coming in from the bottom. So of those who come from the ascending process, you could say Vishwamitra is probably one of the best in the universe.
Yes.
But in descending, then Nard Muni is the best.
Yes.
Nard Muni, Lord Shiva,
yes,
like this, Four Kumar, you know, like that. Because they know it coming from top down. So that's our process.
Yes.
So that's why we learn that first, then we get into these other things. So that's why, if we understand Bhagavatam, then we can understand these other literatures. We don't understand Bhagavatam, we won't be able to understand these other literatures.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why it says, the purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the purpose of every branch of Vedic knowledge, is to understand Krishna, worship Krishna, see Krishna in all these ways. So everything in your life, that's the idea, the 14 books are everything in our life, right?
Yes.
On all levels, you know, devotion, the consciousness, the intellect, the senses, the mind, the body, right? The environments we're in, so everything there. So how to see Krishna in all these situations. That's what they're for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what we mean by Anuchana.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can test our... If he really study, if he develop the test to worship and to dedicate to the Lord.
Yes.
You can test ourselves.
Yes, yes. So you see is that we're knowledgeable if we're humble.
Yes.
And we're actually, you know, the real point of the knowledge is we're devotional. So if that devotion is there and that humility, then you can say one is actually studied.
Yes.
And we see is that that's one, the main symptom of a devotee is the humility.
Yes.
So that's the point. So that means the devotee is actually in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he doesn't know very much by his conditioning, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He knows Krishna and he has that humility to, you know, as the symptom. So that's your real scholar.
Yes.
Not those who have very good material ability and miss the point of it's about Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something? Mm-hmm. If after studying all the Vedic literature one does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family in the material world. So this is a very important crux. Attachment, the material is misapplied. So all these nice qualities that we're talking about, you know, equity, fraternity, liberty, the point is they're all about, if they're used in connection to Krishna and attachment to Krishna, they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not used according to Krishna, they're just ways to bind us in the material world. It's just another way. Right? Some people like one way of being bound, some people like another way of being bound, but they're all bound. So the point is that attachment has to be shifted from the mundane to Krishna. So if we can do that just by seeing how nice Krishna is and that just shifts our attachment like it did for the gopis, great. If not, then we use, you know, knowledge. If that shifts it, you know, the material world's not nice, the spiritual world is, Krishna's there, therefore then we switch it, great. If not, then we're practicing our material life here, we adjust that into the sadhana, so that we see things regulated according to scripture. If that will help us adjust it by purifying, so we get that. Does that make sense? You know, so the knowledge detachment comes, then we're able to appreciate it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, our attachment is even more so, therefore we're taking what we're attached to and then eventually connecting it to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever it takes,
yes,
we're trying to shift this attachment from the mundane to Krishna.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the real crux. Once it's shifted to Krishna, everything's perfect. And to that degree it's not, that's the degree of imperfection. Right? Yeah. So that part's the waste of time. And the part connected to Krishna, that's the glory part. So the glory is greater, but that doesn't mean that we don't notice that there's an anchor there. Right? The guys are on the boat, they're rowing the boat, that's the good part. That the anchor is in, that's the part that's the problem. You know, so you can't say we're rowing the boat, we don't care about these, you know, secondary aspects. You know, and we can't say, oh no, it's all about the anchor. So we pull up the anchor, and if no one rows the boat, then, right? You know, then we drift about in speculation. On the winds of the speculation, the waves of the speculation, right? So, no, the two have to go together. Always remember Krishna, never forget. Yeah. Right? That's the idea. Right? Almost a question? No. Okay, lacking attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family in this material world. So we see it's where the attachment is.
Yes.
It's not the situation.
Yes.
It's where the attachment is. We take it it's the situation. Oh, family life is what's bad. No, attachment to family life and not attached to Krishna, that's what's bad.
Yes.
So Pritumaras is attached to Krishna. So whether he's in family life or not, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Right? So it's the attachment is there. But sometimes we have to, just so that we will wake up to that, then we must say things that aren't so pleasant about grihastha life as in previous chapters. But that's to wake us up to the attachments for Krishna. Huh?
To make sure.
To make sure, yes. Yes. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, so you see, that's the main thing, is that this chapter is that once you get out of family life, get out of the material concept, and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That will then create all perfection. Yes?
So that's the lesson also for the inhabitants of these nice places.
Yes, of course, because they remember the Lord, then it's good, and if they don't, then they're just in a nice place, and then after this particular 10,000 years, then they're not there anymore. Then they're back over here. Yes. Yeah, because here there's some piety. That's why you see it's on earth. You know, that's where then God consciousness is the place. Like that. You understand? Here the advantage we can say is, okay, now a question. Okay. Yes. Otherwise, yes. The two go together. To know the Lord, you have to know the spiritual master meaning is that service to the Lord. That's why then Jarabharat made that. So that was the simple points of the previous chapters. That surrender to the Guru, that means then everything will be perfect. Then you can get the Lord. So here is this saying, therefore you should take complete shelter of the Lord. So we've accepted that, and therefore it's not we're taking shelter of family life. Something goes wrong, then we want to take shelter of the home. You know, we have our, you know, comfortable situation or comfort food, you know, that particular movie, you know, or you know what I'm saying? You know, all these different things that are there. So,
yes.
Right? Is that so that's not the actual shelter, because the point is even that's there, but what is it in that is there? That's Krishna. That element of that food, the familiarity or the particular taste, that's Krishna, right? That theme or that point of the moods, and that's Krishna. That situation we put ourselves into, you know, get out all the thing, get out all the pillows, you know, get out your quilt, you know, like that. That's all Krishna. That comfortableness, the softness, the, you know, how you say, not encompassing, but what's a
cocoon like?
Yeah, but that kind of thing, that there's some nicer poetic words for it, you know, that. Yeah, they're kind of bit like being wrapped up and all. Like, so it's Krishna's,
coddling.
Yes, like that. It's just, it's nice, right? But that's Krishna. Krishna's the niceness of that. You know, here we don't have it so much because it's not a big deal, but in the West, then your nice warm fire, you know, like that. And, you know. Yeah, nice cool AC, you know. Same thing, turn on the AC and lay back. But the point is that's Krishna. So when we make that, it's not that that's not a comfortable situation, because why would we be in that? Because that food matches something that we like mentally, physically, the situation we put ourselves in. It's not that, you know, we think, you know, things are going tough. I need to put myself in a good situation. So, you know, in the middle of the day at 12 noon, you go up on the roof and then sitting there, build four fires around you and go, ah, now that's better. Right? No? Yeah. So that's... Yeah, so it matches the mental and physical. It matches the conditioning. Otherwise, why would we pick it? Right? So, but the point is that's still Krishna. It's still Krishna's the point. So our attachment, we have to slowly, through engagement, through knowledge, through both, connect it back to Krishna. Then we switch that attachment to Krishna. That's why completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So we start by something, but then eventually we keep it going until it's complete. That doesn't mean the situation has to go. It means that the consciousness has to completely shift. And in doing that, we may give up a particular situation.
Yes.
Right? We don't find it so important.
So when you feel extraction from the guru, you have to ask for extraction or...
Yeah, whether we should put more salt on the preparation or not, because we forgot before, but then we didn't offer it, so then when Krishna, he got it with no salt, so why should we take it with salt? Because he didn't take it with salt. At the same time as, you know, he is the taste of something, so then the salt is him, so then putting him with him is not a problem. Yeah, not that kind of stuff. You know. Does that make sense? So in other words, look at it like this. What question would you ask the Siksha Guru? Right? That's the question you ask your Diksha Guru.
Yes.
Right? So in other words, the questions you ask the Diksha Guru that you wouldn't ask the Siksha Guru, that's because we're thinking about the Diksha Guru not as the actual Siksha Guru, but we're thinking of more as if, you know, the father or something.
Yes.
So those kind of things, those ones we leave out. Those are the ones we don't need to ask. What we'd ask with Siksha Guru, then that's the ones that we should be asking. Does that make sense? So we ended that point. Okay. So thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.